You have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read several verses for your hearing this morning. It said, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou departest to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Decision time. What will it be? Will it be heaven or will it be earth? The only way that a person is ever counted righteous by God is simply by believing. The scripture says in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, "Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Somewhere along the line, Lot too put his faith and his trust in the Lord, and he was counted righteous in heaven's sight. The reason we know that is because it says in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, God called Lot that righteous man. Now, as far as salvation is concerned, God put Lot on a level or a par with Abraham, one of the greatest believers of all time. It is unlikely from what is revealed about Lot in the book of Genesis that any of us would say that he was a true believer. Had not the Holy Spirit of God mentioned the fact that he was righteous in the New Testament, we would have probably written him off as one who merely professed to believe. You can't straddle the fence. I think all of us know that this morning, that you either have to be on one side or the other. You cannot get the best of both worlds, and this is what Lot tried to do, and it was a tragic mistake. Each of us need to ask ourselves several questions. First of all, is it going to be heaven or hell? And I hope this morning that if you have not already decided that it's going to be heaven for you, and that you have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you'll do that today, and that you'll shun that place called hell. And then once we've settled that question about where or how we're going to live and where we expect to go at the end of life's journey, the second question is it going to be heaven or is it going to be this earth? Now, the devil tried to persuade believers that that this second question really doesn't matter, that as long as their souls are saved, they can try to get everything that this world has to offer. Sad to say, a lot of folks have bought into this philosophy. Lot, however, reveals the enormous cost that's involved when a believer chooses to live for godly and or ungodly and worldly gain. Now, the scripture clearly traces the downward course of this man who made a decision for God. He had his name written down in the eternal's book of life, and yet he failed to make his calling and election sure in a godly lifestyle. We should never forget that the world is a sworn enemy of God, that we're talking about the world system. And God is the sworn enemy of this world system. It says in 1 John 2:15 that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God has never blessed worldliness. He never will. And I think we can see very clearly in the life of Lot that it's a warning against trying to straddle the fence. Now, Lot's story is told in Genesis to warn others not to make the same mistakes that he made. Lot himself is like a lighthouse on the rocky shores of time, that he is there to warn believers at all times and in all places against making shipwreck of their soul. There are four things that I want to point out about Lot. Number one is his choice. At a critical time in the life of this man, he came under the influence of a godly man, his uncle, Abraham. That was a good thing, and well, probably it was the best thing that had ever happened to Lot. Abraham had a dynamic faith. He had an all-out commitment of his life to God. His determination to walk the straight and the narrow way was unquestionable. And Lot, having lost his own father in death, was taken in by his father's brother. Now, God must have seen some real potential in this young man. And I say to you this morning, isn't it amazing how God arranges circumstances and allows us to come under the influence of godly people, allows us to come under the influence of folks praying for us in order that we might get right with God and live for Him. Getting to live in the very shadow of the father of faith was a tremendous blessing. Lot owed so much to the Lord for permitting him to be there. And I would say to you this morning, are we not equally blessed today to be able to come into the house of God and have a godly influence in our life? To know that God reaches out to us and He uses people in order to do that. There are folks that are here that have prayed for those that are lost in family and friends. Aren't you glad somebody cared enough for your soul? None of us were born in some faraway heathen land under the influence of some false religion, but rather here in America, under the influence of the gospel, we have been born in the Bible Belt, USA, and you don't have to go very far to hear the Word of God preached. In whom much is given, though, much is required. We have been so blessed in America, and we don't want to take that for granted because we may not have that freedom a whole lot longer. And you may pay a tremendous price in order to stand up for God. But I'm here to tell you, God expects us to do more than just the normal things. Lot struck out on his pilgrim journey with Abraham, and they left the Ur of Chaldees. They went down into Canaan, and God led each step of the way, and he blessed not only Abraham, but he blessed Lot as well. It says Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver, and gold. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. But it tells us in verse 7 that there was a dispute that arose. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Evidently, the squabble was all about grazing rights over this or that particular pasture land. And I can tell you the devil was smug and smiling because he had won a victory. He wants nothing more than to cause division and strife among the brethren. He'll do everything that he can to cause division and strife in your home, in your church, in your nation, in your world, in order to advance his work. The root problem between them was material things. Satan had cleverly engaged them in this looking at things. Now the dispute called for a discussion, and Abraham called a meeting, and there was no question as to who the owner of the land was. God had given it to Abraham. It was his. And he could have said to Lot, God has given me this land. It's deeded to me and to my descendants. You're going to have to hit the road. But you know, he didn't do that. I think he said something like this. Look here, Lot. We are all brothers in the Lord. The things that divide us are nothing compared to the things that unite us. It is important that we keep the values of eternity in view and not be squabbling over a little bit of grass. So he says, take your choice. You can go to the left and I'll go to the right, or vice versa. I'm going to give you the choice. Now here we have an excellent example of every church that maybe has eternal internal strife, or has had it in the past, or will have it in the future. A spiritual man, a man who has learned to leave circumstances in the hands of God, always speaks like Abraham spoke. And we leave the ultimate issues up to God. Let God take control. Let God resolve and work things out. Let God give direction in our life. Well, the discussion about the dispute led to Lot's decision. Now, Lot made his choice. Now, I can just see him as he was there on the hillside, and he was looking at that rocky hillside that didn't have a whole lot of grass. And then he looked down at the lush plains of Jordan and saw that the grass was green. It was plentiful. And so it didn't take him long to make up his decision. But why did he make that decision? I think, number one, he was weak in his devotions. He had no spiritual priorities. He had no spiritual perspective. We read that Abraham had an altar and that he called on the name of the Lord God, but we never anywhere in the scripture read that about Lot. He evidently journeyed along day after day after day on the coattail of Abraham without any personal quiet time with God. You need to have time to study your Bible, to pray, have some quiet time to let God speak to you. Lot was also worldly in his desires. He chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Now his decision was based on what he saw with the natural eye. And the well-watered plains sure looked good to the natural eye. And according to verse 10, there was a second reason why he chose the plain of Jordan. He had been to Egypt with Abraham when there was a drought in the land of Canaan. And Egypt looked so wonderful in comparison to Canaan. And now the well-watered plains in the direction toward Sodom surely reminded him of Egypt. It tells us there in verse 10. Old Testament typology pictures Egypt as being the world. I think it's obvious that Lot had a lot of Egypt or the world in his heart. And because Lot was weak in his devotion, worldly in his desires, he therefore was wrong in his decision, and he thought that he could live independently of Abraham and his circle of like-minded believers and get by all right. You know, there's a lot of folks today that think you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Let me remind you of something. The Bible said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That's the day of the Lord. Have you ever had a fireplace on and maybe there was a spark, you know, and a coal was thrown out and it was all red and glowing when it came out of the fireplace? But after a little while, it turned black. And after a little while, it turned cold and you could pick it up with your hands. That's exactly what happens to somebody that gets out of the warm fellowship of the church. You can't live for God if you have the opportunity. Now, I'm not talking about folks that are sick or anything like that and they can't come. But I'm talking about if you can come and you choose not to come. No, you can't stay close to God. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can't do that. And Lot was going to find that out. When Abraham suggested that they parted, it would have been wise for Lot to have said something like this: "Abraham, I don't want to leave the fellowship of God's people. It wouldn't be good for me. It wouldn't be good for my family. We need to stay in the warm fellowship of the church." But he didn't. He made a bad choice, and it was costly. Notice Lot's change. Lot moved his family into Sodom. His children grew up with the Sodomites in the well-watered plains instead of with God's saints on the rocky mountainside. His wife went shopping in Sodom. The person who moves out of the will of God will face consequences, though, before very long. Lot was no exception. The Bible tells us war broke out. Five kings from the east came, and they defeated Sodom. They took Lot, his wife, and his children, put them in chains, and was taking them to Mesopotamia in order to sell them as slaves. Lot had chosen the world, and so God let him have the world and its chains. Lot's chains were the direct result of Lot's choice. If we deliberately allow the world to come between us and God and his people, we'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. There'll be little hope for us either unless some Christian brother or sister like Abraham comes and cares enough for us as Abraham cared for Lot. Lot had treated Abraham badly, but that friend of God held no grudge. So he mobilized his forces. I can see him as he gets some friends to help, and they go and they defeat the kings of the east, the five kings, and they rescue Lot and his family. Well, the Bible tells us that Lot was rescued, and you know, all of a sudden he was in a position to where that he had everything presented to him again. He could make a new choice. He could decide afresh and anew. He had a second chance. And it just reminds me of the fact the Lord is the God of the second chance. And he allows us sometimes to mess up, but he brings us to reality to get us to straighten up. And he gives us a second chance. So the Bible tells us that they came back from the battle, and Abraham goes over to Melchizedek, the king priest, and he offers and pays tithes unto him because of the fact of God's goodness upon him to allow them to defeat the enemy. And then the scripture tells us that they made that offering to the Lord as they were partaking of the fruit of the vine and the bread, which was a symbol the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was given for us on the cross of Calvary. Lot, I can visualize him setting over against, well, with the people of Sodom, setting over with them and laughing and talking about what a great victory was won and how they were freed, giving no concern about the spiritual in his life. Notice the progression. The Bible tells us that first he looked toward Sodom, then he pitched his tent toward Sodom, then he dwelt in Sodom, and then we see him next sitting at the gates in Sodom, the place of power in ancient cities. But the tragedy of it all is this last point, Lot's children. The Holy Spirit gives us one final look at Lot. It was the night of Sodom's doom, but the fires of God's wrath had not fallen upon the sexual sins of perversion in Sodom. God had banked up his wrath for years and years, but finally the grace of God came to an end. And finally God said it was enough, and so this night judgment was going to come. God sent two angels to Sodom. The reports of Sodom's sins were found to be true. The gay community demanded their rights. The rulers of society endorsed sexual preference. The preference of the Sodomites is normal and permissible. Their alternate lifestyle was endorsed by the laws of the land, and Lot was hired to help enforce those laws. Do you not see a similarity in our world today? The streets of Sodom were notoriously vile. Visitors were not safe in the city, not even heavenly visitors. Lot had never asked if Sodom was a good place to raise his children. He was only concerned that it was a good place to raise his cattle. He had doubtless told his children about Abraham and God. But it was clear that he was not worried about their spiritual well-being. He himself didn't indulge in the sins of the Sodomites. Maybe he thought he was leaving a good example, but he exposed them to Sodom. And you know, sometimes we think, if I can go and be with those that are in the world and I'll influence them. If you go to where the world's at, you won't influence them, they'll influence you. But there's not one hint that Lot ever wept over his children. Not one hint that he ever got down on his knees and prayed for his children, for their salvation. It's obvious he certainly did not care enough for his children in order to separate himself from Sodom and take them to a place that was more spiritually minded. Doubtless Lot had sent his children to Sodom's schools. He allowed his children to play with Sodom's sons and daughters. There's little doubt that he watched them as they began to take on Sodom's ways and turning soft toward Sodom's sins. At least two of his daughters had married Sodomite men. Doesn't it seem a bit strange that now, as impending doom is hovering over the city, that he had been warned that he would run as fast as he could to get out of that place, or at least to warn his children? Lot had sowed worldliness, and now he was reaping worldliness. He pursued worldly goals, and he reaped worldly results. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Why did he not get right with God? You know, I don't understand why folks can hear the gospel week after week, be exposed to the scripture week after week, and still remain in their sin, still remain uncommitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible gives two dreadful closing glimpses of Lot's children, and they're heartbreaking. When Lot hammered on the door of his married daughters that night, warning them that judgment was coming, they didn't believe him. And why should they? The scripture says, but Lot seemed as one that mocked his son-in-laws. His daughters had taken on the viewpoint of Sodom, and as a result, they died in the fiery destruction that night. Two more of Lot's daughters were not yet married and equally hardened to the ways of God. The angels almost literally had to drag them out of the city of Sodom before the fire and the brimstone fell. Finally, these two girls with their stricken father escaped from the city. You know the story of Lot's wife, that she was going out, but she turned around in disobedience to the Lord to look back one last time. And she became a pillar of salt. She died. And the tragedy of it all is the two daughters that went out with him. And I'll not go into the reasoning why, but they committed incest with their father after they got him drunk. And they had children. One was to be the father and the mother of the Moabites, the other the Ammonites, enemies of Israel to this day. I don't understand why folks don't love God and just commit to Him. I'm telling you, this old life is passing away. I can't believe that we're almost here to Thanksgiving again. Christmas is just around the corner. It seemed like we just got through with that, you know, a few months ago. But I'm here to tell you, life is passing us by. You know, I look in the mirror, and I look, and I see that old man looking back at me, and I said, whoa, you know. But hey, we're all getting that way. If you think you're an exception, get your mirror out, you know. Check it out. We're all getting older, and you don't stay down here, do you? I look in the obituary page, you know, I look at the front page, I look at the sports page, and then I look at the obituary page, which is right behind the sports page. I noticed you had to help her down the steps there, too. But you know, we're passing through, but you've got sufficient time in order to make things right with God. And that's the mercy and the grace of God. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God allows you to be here today, and God allows you to come under the influence of Christian people because He loves you, and He wants you to get right with Him because He knows that climactic day is coming. It's already on the calendar of God. We may not know just when, but He does. And if you feel an urgency, maybe it's because God is placing that urgency in your life in order to awaken you to the fact you need to do it now, today. Let's pray.